The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
My heart was at Ole Miss, but I talked to cementers, Coach Pete Carroll, Coach Nick Saban, especially when Coach Carroll said your dad would tell you to go take the shot. I talked to God, and he told me it's time to take a new step.
Yeah.
That is Lane Kiffin taking the LSU job as of just a few hours ago. And now everyone is having a really difficult time in how he left, why he left, and why Ole Miss is not allowing him to coach into a national championship where it looks like they'll be probably sixth or seventh in the CFP that comes out tomorrow night. And I could go off about as long as you did on Need to Know just a second ago. So I'm going to let you go first here. Were you surprised? What's your thoughts on how Lane Kiffin left, and is it really this big of a just go ahead. You go, because once I start rolling, I'm going to go for a while. Go.
I'm absolutely appalled. I'm so ashamed of Lane Kiffin.
Are you really?
Yeah, who I have thought had matured and gone through the steps of becoming a credible coach, an accomplished coach, had gone through the ringers of having early success in terms of getting opportunities but not taking advantage of them. I was drinking the Kool-Aid that I always encourage everybody to lay off of. They did the, I don't know if you saw it earlier this year, they had a big documentary on SEC Network about the maturity and the arrival of Lane Kiffin, that he's just such a, God-fearing, yoga-performing, great American citizen. Tony, what he's done here is the ultimate, absolute demonstration of ego, of self entitlement, of putting himself completely above everybody else in his life. And if I'm an Ole Miss fan today, I am so incensed, but more just heartbroken in disappointment, because this guy had the keys to the city. He was there would have been streets named after him. There would have been statues. This guy was completely embraced. And let's keep in mind, when Nick Saban gave him a chance to get back into the big time as offensive coordinator at Alabama, which was self-serving, that wasn't Nick being a great, humanitarian. He knew Lane Kiffin brought to the table the ideas and the innovation to modernize his offense, which makes great Nick Saban a brilliant leader. And because that's the key, you got to surround yourself with people that can help you achieve your mission. And see, but he gave Lane Kiffin that chance. Kiffin, in that situation, ended up getting fired by Nick Saban during the playoffs once again. And I had people tell me, well, he's already done it before. He stiffed Alabama during the playoffs to go take the Florida Atlantic job. Yep. Well, that was a little different. He'd already agreed to go to Florida Atlantic after the season, and Nick didn't begrudge that. Nick begrudged that instead of being in Tuscaloosa preparing for these games doing his job, he was flying every Monday down to Boca Raton and starting to run that program already. And Nick said, look, you either give a 100% concentration on this or we can't use you anymore. And ironically, you know who took his place, if
Steve
you remember?
Sarkisian.
Steve Sarkisian. Mm-hmm.
And they lost to Clemson 35-31, yeah, too. We had this argument, would Alabama have won with Lane Kiffin as their OC? You're damn right they would have.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, they would have won the national championship.
Yeah, you're absolutely – Alabamians still consider the fact that Kiffin leaving – and some people blame Saban that he should have just lived with it.
They should have.
Kiffin stay. Ego. But Sarkisian now, who is crying like a five-year-old, that Texas is a playoff team. We deserve to be in the playoffs. Steve Sarkisian and Lane Kiffin both look really puny today. with their behavior. But Kiffin, Tony, this is such a – and when he was at Florida Atlantic, what school in the SEC, you didn't have LSU and Tennessee and Florida lining up, knocking on his door at Florida Atlantic. You had one school in the SEC that was willing to take a chance and say, we're going to put you back on center stage lane in the most prominent conference in the country. That school was Ole Miss. The University of Mississippi gave him the chance to come back and completely revive his legacy, completely update his brand, and look what he's done to them at the culmination of the greatest season in Ole Miss history. He stabs them in the back and leaves for another job when he said this isn't about the money. And let me just add one more point.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't calculated it yet, but I think it's going to end up being like $10 more because – I think Lane Kiffin, yeah, it might not have been about the amount of money in terms of money per se because Ole Miss was willing to match it, but I guarantee you the contract he got at LSU is probably like $5 more than Kirby Smart's making, and that, for Lane Kiffin's ego, was the goal. I want to be the highest paid coach in the country, and this was the methodology to do it, but I can't believe he betrayed the school that gave him the chance to get back into this position, and I don't blame Ole Miss at all. If you want to go, get the hell out of here. You're not going to coach this team if you're abandoning it. The fact that how hilarious it is it for us, Tony, that the new coach at Ole Miss is Pete Golding,
yeah.
Our colleague, the legend, basically ran Pete Golding out of Alabama single-handedly a couple of years ago. Remember his dad called Paul Feinbaum and said, if that legend guy doesn't shut up about my son, mm-hmm. I'm going to kill him.
Yeah.
So legend was right in the middle of that story, and now Pete Golding is head coach at Ole Miss.
A guy who's got the guy who has the 34th best defense in college football is getting a head coaching job at Ole Miss to Dicko for Lane Kiffin. At least Lane's not stupid.
He's not taking Pete Golding, Dale.
You've been doing this a long time. I cannot believe that this is the side you're taking in this story. Let me tell you something. When I first got to town, I had a girlfriend here. She took off, and I was big hoots, man. I was number one in town. I was rock and roll. I had it going on. And I met this woman who, by the way, was one of the most beautiful women, not only in Birmingham, but in Alabama, but on the face of this earth. She was just smoking hot, right? And there was something about me she liked. I was so far outside my coverage, it was unbelievable. I mean, I got a face for radio, and somehow I got a date with this girl. Next thing you know, we start going out, and we're getting it on, and it's going great. It's going great. I mean, it's fantastic. It's the best love affair I think I'd ever had in my life. And all of a sudden, about a couple of weeks later, a friend of mine comes up and says, by the way, I saw your girlfriend the other night. I said, really? And he goes, yeah, she's a hell of a dancer. And I said, pardon me? He goes, yeah, you know she dances up at Sammy's, right? And I said, I did not know that.
Did not know that.
And I said, really? He goes, yeah, man, you got it going on, brother. I mean, you got the whole package there. And I'm thinking this girl was smart. She had a master's degree. She's got a body like this. And then I find out she's dancing at Sammy's. And I said, whoa, 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 whoa. So I walk in one night and I see her dancing. She says, hey, she buys me a drink. It's funny. You should buy me a drink. I'm not buying her a drink. We go out of the car. She's acting like nothing's going on. And I said, what is this? She said, what do you mean? I said, what are you doing? I said, you're smart. You got a master's degree in marketing. You're beautiful. You could do anything you want. You dance at Sammy's. She goes, Tony, I make $300,000 a year here. Why would I want to go work at 9 to 5? And she goes, and I like it. I enjoy it. And I said, well, certainly you're not going to keep dancing there, right? Because I'm not okay with this. You know which one she dumped? She dumped me. She dumped me. Yeah. And that's what Ole Miss just did with Lane Kiffin. They were just going out with the best looking stripper on the face of the earth. Do you know the story of the scorpion and the toad? The scorpion and the toad are sitting on one side of the river. And the toad says, I want to get to the other side. And the scorpion said, yep. Well, I need to go over there too. And I'd like to have a ride. And the toad was like, why the hell would I give you a ride knowing you're going to sting me? And the scorpion said, I'd never sting you because if I sting you, we're both going to die. What happens? The damn scorpion stings. The toad was a scorpion. Say, that's what scorpions do. That's what Lane Kiffin does. This is his seventh job in 18 years. He was at Oakland for 20 games. He was at Tennessee for 13 games. He was at USC for 3 years. He was at FAU for 3 years. Yes, he did get fired. And I think that if he coaches that game against Clemson, I think Alabama wins the national title. He goes to get rehabilitated at Alabama for, you know, 2 or 3 years in 2013, whatever it was. And then ends up taking off and taking the FAU job. And now we're surprised after he gave 6 years of his life at Ole Miss. Ole Miss should, first of all, let him coach the national championship game if they get that far. They should make a statue of Lane Kiffin. He just did something that hadn't happened in 50 years at Ole Miss. He won 10 games. He won 10 games 3 years in a row. Ole Miss was never a top job in the SEC. It was never a top 50. It was never a destination job. Because Lane Kiffin, this job is now a good job. Pete Golding should be happy to have a job at Ole Miss. The only reason he left were two reasons. First of all, the money, but not the money in his pocket, the money in the collective at NIL. Right now, LSU's got three times as much money as Ole Miss. We talked about it on the show. You need to be able to coach, you need to be able to recruit, and you need to be a businessman. You need to go out there and raise a lot of cash, because I don't care how good you are at the other two. If you can't raise $30 or $40 million a year with your boosters so you can pay your players, you ain't going to win squat. Ask Dabo Swinney. It's just that way. He's got that and not only the facilities, and you probably got a better shot at winning a national title because three of the last four coaches have done that at LSU. So it's a better job. LSU's a better job than Ole Miss. I cannot believe how torn up and pissed off people are at him, because –
He's a rat bastard. But what did you expect?
What did you expect? Did you think he was going to finish his career at Ole Miss?
Let me ask you a question.
Did you think he was going to finish? Ask me this question. Do you think he was going to finish his career at Ole Miss?
No,
of course he was going to leave. Ole Miss is not the best job out there.
I
LSU is better than that.
I've been saying it all year.
Well, you know, Florida was actually kind of smart. They actually backed out. You know what they did? They broke up with the stripper before she could break up with him. They're like, hey,
yeah,
you know what? We're
going to brought in another subpar middle level coach that's going
to
fail.
Exactly. To me, I'm just like, and I just saw Stephen A. Smith going on with Paul Feinbaum about this. I cannot believe we're burning this guy at the stake for first and out. Now I'll tell you this: the whole God thing, and I spoke to Jesus last night, and Nick Saban. He's throwing Pete Carroll under the bus. He's throwing all these other coaches that helped him out. Nick Saban's like, dude, don't mention me in your garbage. I don't want to. Don't even mention us. We had nothing to do with this crap.
Good
you gave
him.
Me a call. Yeah, no doubt. He's like, don't mention my ass. If you want to mention, we had a phone conversation.
Pete Carroll's 2-10 in the NFL. Yeah. That's a great guy to be getting advice from.
He's got a better shot at being the next Ole Miss coach before anyone else does. Of course, Pete's got that. You could see this coming. I mean, this guy is who he is. Again, this is his seventh job in 18 years. And to me, it was a learning experience. When Ole Miss got him from FAU, and he was a pretty hot name. So Ole Miss did take the shot after he was at FAU. And, of course, he had a lot of success at FAU. He got them back up. He had that Liberty thing going like Hugh Freeze did. Of course, he was better than Hugh Freeze. The funny thing is, you go back to, I can remember him getting fired at USC. And I'm thinking to myself,
oh, my, Pat Hayden met him
Pat
on the tarmac.
Pat Hayden, I mean, fired his – and I'm thinking to myself, man, how bad would USC love to have Lane Kiffin right now?
Oh, no kidding.
I mean, in a heartbeat, and you fired this dude. Listen, he's come a long way, and I think his rehabilitation at Alabama was a big part of that. I'm not sure if Lane Kiffin's even coaching college football if he doesn't go to Alabama and get rehabbed by one Nick Saban.
I agree with that.
I think it's fantastic. But I do think it's really funny that he's taken a school to 10 wins – three times in a row, which has never happened. He's won double-digit games for the first time in 50 years. They haven't won a national title since 1962, okay? And now all of a sudden they got a chance to go to a national championship. They're obviously going to be a lot better with him coaching. I don't care. Go look at charts. Do whatever you want with LSU. I don't care if you want to sleep down in a Baton Rouge hotel for the next 3 weeks, but coach us through our national championship. And the whole idea of Ole Miss, the only reason they're doing this is Ole Miss wants to win a natty and then say you don't get a ring for it. And that's ridiculous, because it's not going to happen without Lane Kiffin as head coach. They're obviously a lot better. So Ole Miss needs to bite the bullet. They need to go ahead and check their ego back and say, listen, appreciate everything you've done for us. Thank you so much. We're good to go. But we'd love to have you, coach, and let him hang out, because he's obviously not going to look any better. He's going to look great if he gets you a national title, and you're going to look good too, and then he can be on his way. If he doesn't get a national title, he's going to look like a turd. He's going to look like hell. He's going to look like if he had lost this past weekend. obviously what it is. So, yeah, it is what it is. But I'm turning 60 next year, and I'm realizing, you know, after the age of about 50, things don't change. You know, if you wear grippies at the age of 50, you ain't going to boxer shorts after 50. If you drive a certain kind of car at 50, you're not changing. You're not driving. You're not going from a Buick to a Lamborghini when you turn 52. After 50, you kind of set in your ways a little bit. And what I've realized in my old age here is that when you look at something, it is what it is. It is what it is. Lane Kiffin may change in 10, 20, 50 years. He may be the same guy we know right now, and he's going to take what he is. But what he did was just take another job that was better than what he had. He's got a better chance to win a national title, and he gave you 6 years, which is by far the longest he's been with anyone. You should be happy you got the data stripper for 6 years.
Well, I was trying to ask you a question. So is, in your analogy, is Lane Kiffin the scorpion or the toad?
You know, in this case,
I'm confused.
In this case, well, he's definitely the scorpion, but in this case, he's a little bit of both. Listen, it didn't surprise anyone that he took this LSU job. He wasn't going to keep the oldest guy. He wasn't going to do that.
Because if he wasn't going to do it, he would have come out right away. You knew he was leaving.
Sure.
He would have come out right away and goes, I'm the head coach at Ole Miss. We've got a great team here. I've built it myself piece by piece. If I'm a player or a fan today, I'm just pissed at Lane Kiffin because he had a commitment to me and my team. And he's walked away from it.
Now, wait a minute. He walked away from it. He can walk away at the end of the year. Yes, he's walking away from the program. He's doing that. But he's offered to coach you through your national championship run, which is the only thing they ever
done. When he's lit.
It's a shot you got to take. It's a shot you got to take. You're still sleeping with a stripper.
I don't agree with that.
I know my stripper girlfriend is going to go make it with my guy across the street, but I've got her for 3 more weeks. And if I'm looking at me and I'm going, and I'm looking at that, I'm but like, I'm good. I'll take that for 3 more weeks.
But did your relationship play out that way? If we're using the stripper analogy, after the confrontation,
I only got three months with that stripper,
Found out she was the Sammy's. Were you guys still together for a couple more weeks?
We actually were for a couple more weeks, and then I finally got tired of all my friends telling me how good she looked naked. I just couldn't do it, I was a jealous type. Funny thing is, she is.
So you were Ole Miss, and you were still letting her. You were still letting her be involved in the program.
Oh yeah, I was letting her do her thing. I had to weigh my options here. I was 23 years old. Kip, she was like beyond smoking hot. I mean, like best looking woman I've ever had. I can only make an analogy. My ex wife was as attractive as she was when I first met her. But I will say this, I had to think it through, and I thought, well, this is great. Cause everyone was calling me the new Howard Stern and all this other shit. And I was like, and I thought, do I really want to go out? And I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it knowing that all my friends were seeing my girlfriend naked. Cause we show up at parties and stuff, and they couldn't even look at her face. Funny thing is, she's still around. She looks nothing like she used to. And I actually texted her several weeks ago, and I said, hey, listen, I said, I will go bartend at the Pink Pony if you'll start dancing again. And she, of course, sent me a laughing emoji, and she said, that's never going to happen. She doesn't look like she used to. But anyway, my point being is, you knew what you had with Lane Kiffin. He gave you, I can be honest with you, when he signed up at Ole Miss, did you think Lane Kiffin would be there for 6 years?
No, probably not.
He brought you 3 10-win seasons. I just think at a point, you know, at this point,
earn him the right to leave them?
No, it doesn't. But I'm also
I just don't get that.
No, it doesn't. But I'm also a man that's filled with gratitude. And I know this probably sounds piss poor to a lot of people. A lot of people are like, you just stand up for yourself, blah, 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 blah. If I've got the best looking thing or the best thing I've ever had, and I've given you everything I got, and I know that I'm leaving, I'm a silver lining guy. You know me, Kip. I'm a silver lining guy. I'm always a glass half full. I would probably look and say, listen, you're going to leave me anyway, so I don't want to be with someone who don't want to be with me. I don't want to be with someone who's not going to be with me. And so I know your mind's elsewhere. So thank you for the wonderful time we've had together. I really did. I've been like that with women. I'm like, hey, I know you want to go on. I know you've already cheated on me, blah, blah, blah. But, man, we've had a great run. This is a lot of fun. And I'm sorry it didn't work out, because I just know things are going to work out for me. I know there's a reason why God placed this woman in my life and why she's gone. Something else is going to meet. Blah, and I know that's going to happen now. So, but I'm always like, thank you. It was really fun. That was a good time. 6 great years of our life. Hey, let's win out together. Let's go do that. I quite frankly, I don't think Ole Miss looks shy. I don't think they look naive. I don't think they look stupid. I don't think they usable. I don't think they look any of those things. If they go to Lane and go, listen, we want you to continue to coach us out because we want to bring this thing home. We've actually had a really, and I think it makes them look like the bigger program. I think it makes them look really, really big to go, Lane, you're employed here. You've offered to do it. Let's finish this thing out and then be on your way. Thank you very much. And I mean, and I, you know, listen, they've got a better shot at winning a national title right now than they had since 1962. So I'm not sure why that ego, because that ego just bought you probably a first round lose. And they're even talking about the CFP looking at the program now and saying, okay, do we want to place them as high as 6th or 7th because they don't have their coach? I mean, I think that sucks. I think it's horrible for the football players. I hate it for the players that busted their ass.
Terrible for the fans, for everybody involved.
Yeah, it really does. But to his contention, he did say, listen, I want to coach. Now, if he said, I'm out and I don't want to coach, then that would really, really, really piss me off. Then I'd probably
but
be.
He's on a plane with half his staff yesterday, going to LSU.
Anytime you get a chance to win, listen, to be the OC at Alabama and get fired, who gives a shit? The OC ring is no different than the players' ring. The head coach's ring is a lot different. He didn't give a shit about winning a national title as an OC. I don't know how many. He may already have a national championship as an OC somewhere. I don't even know. You don't count OC national championships. But if he's going to win a chance to win a national championship as a head coach at an SEC school, I would think he would put everything he's got into doing that and winning that at Ole Miss because he knows how rare that is.
And that includes not taking another job. I mean,
you're going to wait to the end of the year and then take it? Because word's going to get out. You know it is. You know it's going to get out. Now, I will tell you this. Lane screwed up by setting this deadline for himself and saying, listen, I'm going to say this on this particular day because everyone was sitting there waiting.
Which may have been imposed by LSU and Ole Miss. We're not going to wait till January because we're going to miss out on the portal and everything else.
Exactly.
I mean, I'm sure there was a lot of pressure from both sides.
The distraction would be so much. The distraction would be so much because that's all the questions he'd be getting every single time he won a football game at Ole Miss. And so, he probably felt like, hey, listen, I need to go ahead and put an end to this right now. But
So I'm sure he was, that was the whole, I want to coach. I want to take, this is, I would have had to have said, look, all you suitors, I'm interested in talking to you, but I've got a job right now. I've built this team. I'm taking this team as far as I can take it. And I'm the coach of Ole Miss until the season is over. Then we'll talk about a job. If you want me so bad, that's the terms that you can have me, or even I'll consider you if I can finish the drill here as Ole Miss's coach. That's what I would have done in a press conference right off the bat.
I don't know why coaches feel like they have to sit there and say, if I leave here, it's going to be the Pine Box. Or why Nick Saban even had to lie at Miami and say no. Why can't they just look at the camera and say, go talk to my agent. I'm not talking about this. I'm here to coach a football game. But they can't do it. And again, maybe you're right. Maybe LSU did say, listen, the only way we can make this happen is if you leave it now. I can't imagine that. I can't imagine that scenario. But if someone's out there and they're smarter than we are, I would love to know why that scenario that Kip just brought up could not happen. Why couldn't he just say, listen, I'm not answering any questions.
Until this team's eliminated, I've got a job. Talk to you, anybody who wants to talk to me.
Right after we win a national title or we lose, I'd be more than happy to talk to you about it, and then we'll move on because nothing's going to change. Signing period coming up. I don't know if the transfer portal opens up December 14th or something. There may be some transfer portal, but that's not going to be difficult. It's Lane Kiffin. He's going to be able to get who he wants. A deadline right now for Lane Kiffin doesn't mean squat for anybody. He's going to get whoever he wants. He's going to get 4 five-star guards wherever he goes, and he's going to have players wanting to play for LSU because they want to win a national title. And I would say right now he's got an 80% chance at winning a national title at LSU just because they get great players. They get great players at LSU. They've always gotten great players there. Everyone knows there's nothing better than a Saturday night in Baton Rouge and eating corn dogs. And he's going to win a national. Hell, Ed Orgeron can win a damn national championship.
And less miles.
Grass eating less miles. Yeah.
They both won national championships. So from that standpoint, I don't blame him for taking the LSU job. I blame him for basking in the center stage ego show that he perpetrated right up until not even on Saturday, when that was the deadline day where he was going to make his big announcement. At least LeBron showed up the day of the decision and made an announcement. They put it off another day.
Now, there's no doubt there's no doubt he's full of shit. There's no doubt he's got an ego, and there's no doubt he's absolutely loving this. And he's eating it up, and he's in the limelight. And I can tell you right now, he doesn't give a squat what we think about him. He's got himself a fantastic job. I don't know what the conditions are. Did you see how long the contract was for? I'm assuming
7 years, $90 million, $12.8 million per year, guaranteed.
Yeah, and I will say this too. I thought a lot more of Florida, the fact that they bowed out and didn't look like they were like begging for this guy, because they saw the writing there, because we all thought, or at least I did, I thought, and your son was the one that said, man, the money's on LSU. And I was like, really? And then my son walked in and said, I think he stayed at Ole Miss. And I was like, you know, because here's the thing. Now we know you can win a national title at Ole Miss, which is a big thing. Bruce Pearl coming to Auburn basketball, there was no way you could win. You couldn't even win a Final Four at Auburn before Bruce Pearl got there.
Nope.
Jeff Lebo wasn't going to get your ass there.
And so
when Bruce got in there and said, hey, listen, and brought them to a Final Four, now you know it's possible. That makes
two
that
of
job,
them.
Two of them. That makes that job a destination job. Lane has lifted Ole Miss to the point where we know now you can win a national title at Ole Miss, and that was something that they didn't have before he got there. So they should thank him for that. I think they should at least say thank you for putting us in the limelight, because they now will be. And you can make an argument that Hugh Freeze maybe touched that area a little bit after his bye-to-bye wins or back-to-back wins against Alabama at one point, because you're like, wow, this is something special. I can't remember how many games Hugh Freeze actually won at Ole Miss, but he did have some success there.
Well, 24 of his wins were vacated because of recruiting scandal.
Yeah. And we don't have to worry about that anymore.
The year he got fired and used the company credit card for escorts, he only won four games that last year. Auburn hired him for one reason only: back-to-back wins against Nick Saban. That's the only reason.
You're right.
And now, once again, the Auburn obsession. Now, Alexei Golish, the only Russian-born coach in the history of college football, and he's there because he gave Nick Saban two tough games back-to-back. Or actually, it was DeBoer last year. South Florida played Alabama right down to the wire two games in a row. You bet your ass that's why Alex Golish, Russian-born. I don't know if they're going to change the from a ball cap to a Cossack hat on the sidelines at Auburn going forward. But Alex Golish is the coach now at Auburn because he gave Alabama two tough games.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And by the way, I was looking up something. I think UAB is fixing to make a hire too, and their head coach, of course, looking at.
Well, they better hurry up. There's not going to be anybody left.
Well, yeah, and this is one of these things where, for me, I don't think Mark would mind me saying this, Mark Ingram. I think this is one that's got to work. And of course, they're talking about they're talking about Casey Woods. They tried to hire the OC with Navy, and he's like, I don't want to have anything to do with it. And that's when you ask someone to marry you, make sure they're going to say yes first. That's the worst. That's the worst.
Yeah.
When you sit there and say, will you marry me? And she says no, it's never going to happen. Yeah. Don't ever. If she says no once, she's never going to mean it when she says yes once. Just remember that. If you say she said no three times before we finally, I can guarantee you're going to have a divorce on your hands. It's going to happen.
My current situation, I've been told no about 14,000 times.
It's never going to happen.
I'm still in there swinging, buddy.
Yes, you are. And I give you credit for that, my man. You are still swinging for the fences. I love that about your ass. I love that. Looks like Casey Woods, who was a guy that actually was about 10 years in between the two times they actually played, but they both have Tennessee playing experiences. Looks like he is going to be the next head coach for the UAB Blazers. They should be probably making that call sometime. I'm thinking maybe a little bit later on this afternoon. Yeah, offensive coordinator for SMU. They've obviously had a great season. They had a huge victory, a big comeback victory this past weekend.
But what a disappointment this weekend. Yikes.
Yeah.
Go out and lose the Cal Bears and have a field goal at the end to tie it.
What about the Blazers? They had 39 players who didn't make the trip to Tulsa. 39. 9 players, including 2 offensive linemen, 3 defensive starting linemen, didn't make the trip because of the stabbing last week. They said, listen, if you don't want to go, you don't have to go. 39 players didn't make the trip, and they beat Tulsa on the road. The first time they've won a road game since 2022. How the hell does that happen? How do you win that game?
Yeah,
win,
I don't know.
Win Memphis game and lose to Army and lose to Rice. How in the world does that happen?
UConn, Rice. I mean, some real dredges.
Horrible.
But yeah, I have to ask a question. Who's coaching Tulsa? Pee Wee Herman? My goodness, that's awful.
That was bad. It was not good. By the way, see the Paul Reubens documentary. The Pee Wee Herman, Paul Reubens documentary, which came out a couple months ago, is fantastic.
Oh, I bet. I haven't seen it.
I wasn't a Pee Wee Herman fan. I didn't watch the show. I heard about the movie theater, blah, blah, blah. Man, you will learn some things about Pee Wee Herman. He was like a masterpiece, man. This guy was unbelievable. He was incredible. I mean, he was freaky brilliant. That's what he was. He was a freak, but he was freaky brilliant. All right, my man. Great stuff. I can't believe that we're week 13 in pro football. We only got 4 more weeks left to go. College football, we're getting down the nitty gritty. I'm looking forward to something tomorrow. We're going to be doing a show called K4 Wins that airs 10 o'clock Central Time right here live on Tony Curry Radio on our YouTube channel and also on the Coastal Sports Network. We do something called Kip's Best 12, and you're going to be doing that. It didn't change this past week. We unfortunately could not get you on. You need to make sure your stuff is ready to go for tomorrow because...
Yeah, I've got my list, and it's radically different than it was last week.
Well, I want to know how different it's going to be than the CFP tomorrow night. I'm going to be watching for this because I think we have an idea of what the CFP is going to do. I don't know if there's going to be, obviously, the Miami, Notre Dame. I don't think Texas has a Lord's Prayer, but you can certainly, in a blind resume, you can make an argument.
Tony, I don't think, and Alabama fans won't like hearing this because they got a tough challenge.
I know exactly
on
what
Saturday.
You're saying, yeah.
If any team has 3 losses, I don't think any 3 loss team's getting in,
I agree with you, and that goes for Alabama, too. You can make an argument that Alabama, you know, if they lose that game to Auburn, they're out. So they're kind of
They would have been out of everything.
Their backs against the wall, but I think you're right. But I do think we'll see a 3 loss team when we go to 16. We're almost going to have to.
Yeah, definitely, because there's going to be some deserving candidates in the 3 loss area.
Hey, Kalen DeBoer, man. Not only you knock off Georgia, you have to beat them twice this year to get on it. I mean, last year he went from not making it to now, okay, you have to beat Georgia, the defending champ. You have to beat them twice.
Yep.
To make it into the playoffs. That's going to be a tall order. I have not seen the line for that game, the SEC championship game, but that's going to be fantastic. We're going to talk about that tomorrow, but I want to see how your 12, since you're going to put your 12 out first, and we'll post those on Tony Curry Radio and wherever.
I've already compiled them, so I'm ready to go with that.
Okay, good. Let me ask you this, and don't tell me but is there a team in your 12 that you're almost certain is not going to be in the CFP top 12?
Yeah, because right now I'm still doing the best 12.
Good.
So I don't have the North Texas Tulane dilemma because they're not one of the best 12 teams.
Gotcha.
But I do have one automatically because I've got 12 teams and my bottom team is not going to get in and it's not fair,
good.
But they're
perfect.
Not
perfect. That's
get
that's what I love about it. That's because I won the best 12, not the 12 that deserve to get in, not the 12 that make it in because of tiebreakers or any of that crap. I wanted your best 12 teams, and that was the whole idea. And I love that.
I mean, Tulane's in the same position, and I think North Texas's coach is taking a job somewhere too. I think all those teams are just like Ole Miss. They're going to the playoffs without a coach.
Hell, James Madison should be in that hunt somewhere. I know
James Madison's still alive.
I know James Madison is. I know that if you did point spreads, and that's the other thing is, I'd love if Case did the top 12 teams. I don't know how he would do that because you'd have to do point spreads against every other team in college football. I'm sure there's a way to do it, but find the top 12 teams, the strongest, based on what their point spread is, because there's got to be some teams that would be favored against everyone but one team, and that would be the team that would be in front of them. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, sure.
That would be really interesting. Maybe we can give him a little homework to do tomorrow. But I'm looking forward to your top 12 tomorrow. And of course,
but it's interesting when you look at it too, though, because we talked about this game on K4 last week. James Madison hosted Washington State, who's probably the 75th best major team in the country, and they only beat them by 4 points at home. Yep. So that gives you kind of a gauge of these teams that we have to include because it's, you know, the American way. It's the right thing. We have to have some underdog Cinderellas, but those teams are not on the level of the major teams in the country.
I totally agree with you. And in their defense too, though, I mean, Coastal Carolina was that sexy team 2-3 years ago, man. They were like 12-0 against the spread, and they just wiped the floor with their ass yesterday. So, or on Saturday. So it's good stuff.
Yeah. I mean, for their level, they're a fantastic team.
They really are.
But they're gonna have to go on the road and play somebody in their home stadium. It's gonna be ugly for whichever one of those teams gets named.
No doubt, exciting. It's gonna be good stuff. Starting lineup coming up on Saturday from 10:30, 11 o'clock, and we'll continue throughout the football season.
It's championship week.
It's going to be fantastic. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate
Indiana,
you.
Ohio State. I know everybody's just like me, just so excited about that.
Would your son said that line was going to be what, 3?
It's not. I think he said 3.5 or 4. I think it might be more like 5.
Have you seen the lines?
No.
Would you like to go through them?
If we have just another minute, that'd be great.
Well, sure we do. Let's do that.
I'm sure Georgia's probably 3 or 3.5.
Okay, let's go BYU Texas Tech.
Oh, I think Texas Tech is probably 6.
13.5.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Well, they did beat them by 18, I think, before.
Yeah, Duke, Virginia.
Duke, 7-5. Come on, man.
Yeah, I know, right?
Virginia's probably a touchdown.
3.5.
Really?
Yeah.
Alabama. They just played 2 weeks ago and Virginia blew them out.
I know it.
Well, they did 31-17, but.
Alabama, Georgia.
I'm going to say Georgia's 3.
You're a spot on. 2.5. Indiana, Ohio State.
I'm going to say Ohio State's 5.
5.5. Yeah. So, I mean, hey, listen. I mean, you just called 5.5. That's not a big line. I mean, you know, we've been hammering on Indiana a little bit. Signetti, and listen, a loyal guy. A guy that could have gotten a job anywhere in the country if he wanted to and decided he wanted to stay in Hoosier Land for Indiana.
Well, he was at James Madison two years ago.
Where is James Madison? Where is that university?
In Virginia.
Is it?
Okay. Yeah, I'm trying to remember what town, but it's definitely in Virginia. Like James Madison was from Virginia.
There you go. All right, my
man. James Madison, underappreciated, Tony. He was the actual author of predominant author of the United States Constitution.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was. And Dolly Madison, his wife, makes great sandwich cakes. Really,
she did. And when the British were burning down the White House, she got all the paintings and papers out of there at great risk. Yeah.
She really did. She saved a lot of stuff there. She was amazing. She was an amazing woman. All right, my brother. I will talk to you tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. Thank you.
Damn Brits. Talk to you later, Tony.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.